From the Family Life Podcast Network, this is Married with Benefits. I'm Brian Goins on a relentless pursuit to help you love the one you're with and discover all the benefits that come with saying I do. Over the past few podcasts, we have been talking to Harvard trained and best-selling author Shanti Feldhahn, who's been helping you understand the man brain and answering those questions that we know that you're thinking but just aren't sure who to ask. And if you missed any of those episodes, you can look back at familylife.com/podcasts and find some really intriguing questions. Well, today is no exception. We're going to be asking the question, how could my good guy husband be tempted by porn? I know a lot of ladies are going, I married such a great guy. He couldn't be tempted by this, something so sick. Something so terrible, could
he? Or once she knows he is, she's like, what on earth?
Yeah.
Am I not enough for him?
And right.
He's a good man. He goes to church. He loves the Lord. Why would this even be a temptation? It is so hard for us to wrap our brains around that question.
And how often would you say you get this question when you're speaking at conferences?
Every time.
Every time.
Every time.
And I speak for Family Life's Weekend to Remember and for marriages and for men, and I get this all the time. And we know that it's predominantly a male issue, but yet we know that there's a growing amount of females that are struggling with it as well. But today we want to tackle, you know, why is it my husband will look at it? I can't even imagine.
Or even be tempted by
it. Yeah, even be tempted by it. And we know your husband may or may not be addicted to it, but it just seems like there's something in the male brain that gets incredibly excited when an image passes before his eyes.
And that's what we women don't understand. Because for us, we think, if he loves me, he wouldn't even be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I used to think. And until I started, I mean, man, as I started talking to men and hearing their real hearts and doing these surveys and then going, what's underneath it? That's when I started looking at the brain wiring. Because
mm-hmm.
It turns out that there is a lot of brain science that explains a lot of what has been very hurtful or confusing to women. And we need to say right up front, by the way, that let's just say none of what we're about to say is excusing wrong choices. Okay.
Right.
If we get a lot of emails or people coming in on Facebook and saying, you're excusing wrong choices. Okay, go back to minute one.
Mm-hmm.
Because no, we're not. What we're trying to do is to help you understand that perplexity of why would he even be tempted?
Yeah.
And then his job is to make the right choices. But our job, I think, as a wife who cares, is to try to understand him.
Exactly. And that's really what I want to get to, because we know it's an endemic problem. And it's gotten a lot worse in the past 30 years, mainly because of the invention of the internet.
Way worse, yeah.
And I know for me, I go around the country and I talk to guys about this topic, and I'll always ask them this question. How old were you when you first looked at porn? And there's never been a time where a guy looks back at me quizzically and goes, you know, tilts his head like a dog and goes, huh, I don't remember. No, they know exact name, time, place, what they were doing, exactly what they saw. They can give me the details.
Most of them can remember the image precisely.
Yeah. I was 8 years old, Shanti. Guess who introduced me to porn?
Older brother?
No, that's the first guess. Almost everybody says older brother. I don't have an older brother. I have a younger sister. What's your next guess? I'll give you three.
Best friend?
Not my best
friend's older brother.
Not my best friend's older brother. That's your third. You're out.
Strike out.
It was my girlfriend. Now at eight.
What?
At eight, that basically meant I wasn't like a player. I wasn't a player at 8 years
now
old.
Now I'm starting to reevaluate you,
yeah,
Brian.
But
I'm thinking.
At eight, I had a girl, which meant I checked the box, like, do you
yes,
like me?
Of
yeah.
Course.
And I said, of course. And we kind of held hands. And I remember after school one day, she said, hey, let's go to my house. Her parents weren't home. She said, I want to show you the magazines my dad looks at. She pulled out a box from underneath her parents' bed, and we looked at Playboys. Now, I didn't know what I was – even at eight, I'm like, these girls are missing parts of their bathing suits. But I am now 45, and I can take you right back to that place. And I was 11 when I was at a birthday party, and after cake and ice cream, my mom put on Private Lessons. And it was a movie that was not about swimming.
Wow.
At the time, I didn't realize it was a form of child abuse. But
yeah, I was just going to say, that makes me angry just listening to that.
Just blushing as I'm watching these scenes, but yet I couldn't look away.
Yeah.
And at 11, I'm starting to realize a little bit more. But that was back when porn was hard to come by. That was when, you know, the access was so limited. There was a lot of shame, cultural shame. And we're in a different world now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no longer on the box under the bed. It's in the back pocket on the cell phone. it's ubiquitous.
Always there and always tempting.
Yep.
To a guy.
Yeah. And it's not just the porn, right? It's the Maxim magazines in the airport. You know, it's the movies that everyone says has great writing, but it's also got porn.
Well, and it also is the colleague at your husband's office who routinely has one button too low.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So it's all around us. And so I'm sure that a lot of ladies listening to this are like, yes, yes, this is the issue I'm dealing with. How do I deal with this? And you wrote, obviously, the book For Women Only, that you talked a little bit about it. But then you wrote another book, which I love the title of, Through a Man's Eyes, Helping Women Understand the Visual Nature of Men. And what did you learn? How did you stumble into doing this? I mean, you used to write fiction and, you know, you were in the financial markets coming out of Harvard.
Like, what?
And like, how in the world are you now writing about pornography and how women can understand it?
Actually, believe it or not, everything that I've been doing research-wise has stemmed from my aha moment on this issue, where I had this chance, you know, way back when, I had the chance to write a couple of novels. And one of my main characters in my novel was a man. And I didn't know how to put thoughts in his head. Like, I didn't know what a guy would be thinking, but it's a novel. Like, I have to actually say what my main character is thinking. And one of the issues that this character dealt with, I had created it so that this would be one of those issues that he'd be dealing with. And oh my goodness, I had no idea what I'd be getting into, because I was asking the men to say, okay, here's a scene. What would you be thinking in this situation? Like, for example, you're in a business meeting, your colleague is a very attractive woman with a great figure, and she's standing at the whiteboard, you know, doing her presentation. She's all business.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going through your mind, if anything? Like,
right.
And I was shocked to hear all these good guys. Like, and this initially started with, like, all these great Christian men in our home group.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, eventually I'm starting to ask all sorts of other men.
Let me guess what some of the lines
are. Yeah,
were.
Go for it.
Yeah, so if it's somebody, yeah, I can think, man, stop looking at her breasts.
Yep, that was one of them.
I wonder what she would be like.
Yep.
And I know if my wife's listening to this, she's appalled right now, but I'm thinking hypothetically what other guys would be thinking.
Hypothetically,
yeah.
Other men. Yes.
I'm the token guy in this thing, so I can give you what I'm thinking. I need to stop. I need to look away. I need to think about something else. I need to, you know, it's this battle.
Can I tell you the funny one?
Yeah.
Look at her face. Look at her face.
Look at her face. Look at her eyes. Look at her eyes. Look at her eyes. Eyes up. Yeah.
And every woman listening to this is like, what?
Has a woman ever been in a business meeting, like with a conference room around, and she's ever going, okay, stop looking at his butt. Stop looking at his butt. Stop. I mean.
Well, okay. I'm not saying that's never happened. However, it is not the same degree. There's not the same where it just happens constantly, and not the same degree of an intra-brain war going on. And this is what, when I finally realized, this is what I was hearing, even from these really good, wonderful, trustworthy Christian men who didn't actually struggle with pornography.
Right.
You know, I think out of the first initial, when I first stumbled over this, I was in a small group. We had about 12 guys there. And they're telling me this, my jaw is dropping open. And I think, because we knew each other really well, I think two of those men had confessed that this was an issue in their life. They're trying to deal with it. Another two were, you know, in and out of trying to. But all these other guys, they did not wrestle. It's not like they had an addiction. But this was in their brains. I'm like, what on earth? So I started trying to go, I need to understand this. And I have become convinced there is no other single issue. This is now, 14 years later after I started that research. There is no other single issue, none, that affects so many millions and millions of men and boys.
Yes.
Every day.
Oh, yeah.
That so many millions and millions of women are completely blind to and completely clueless about. And it turns out it is largely because our brains are wired completely differently.
Mm-hmm. And I want to get into that, but just even saying that, realizing the society we're living in, and we're not going to get into all the stats right now about how often it's being viewed, but just to say that about men and boys, what's being grown up for the next generation, the average boy leaving high school today is watching 50 online clips a week. 50
wow.
online video clips a week. So it is impacting how we view sex, how we view intimacy, how we view relationships. It's obviously a significant issue. And so more than just being shocked by those numbers, what we want to get to is, okay, is it even possible that my husband could still be a good guy and yet be tempted by this. And so talk to us
about... And the answer is yes.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
So we have yes. Let the pressure out of the room.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's
something... And he does not want to be tempted.
That's another great
thing. He absolutely hates this temptation, hates it with every fiber of his being.
All right. So wiring, you know, talking about the brains and why it's different and why is it so attractive to men versus women?
So here's what I learned, and this is, if there are any neuroscientists listening to this, please forgive me because I'm sure I'm going to botch something that is incredibly complicated, or I should say not botch it, but more simplify it, probably oversimplify it. But here's the basic starting point, is it turns out that the male brain and the female brain, when they see those kinds of sensual images of the opposite sex, they handle them completely differently. So there's an experience that every boy and every man has every single day in this culture that we as women have literally never experienced.
All right, give us one.
So here's what happens. There's a center in the back of the brain. Everybody has it. It's called the nucleus accumbens. Mm-hmm. And it's the part of the brain that's very automatic in, like, for example, let's just say you haven't eaten all day, you're really hungry, and you walk into a room, like a dinner party, say, and you see food on a buffet across the room. You're instantly, you have this, you're really hungry, you're really starving, and you're instantly have a gut level, very physical reaction that is being drawn to that. It's like, I want that. I want to consume that. It's instantaneous. And you're not thinking. The next second, what happens? That's the nucleus accumbens lighting up, okay?
Okay.
The next second, your thinking centers light up. And you think to yourself, wait, whoa, is anybody eating? Like, you know, what do I do now? Do I go ahead and eat or is everybody waiting and darn it, you know, I need to eat. But that first reaction is completely involuntary. It's a physical back of the brain response. And it turns out that when a man sees a woman who is dressing in a way that calls overt attention to a good figure, so that's anything from the woman walking across the parking lot to the woman on the commercial in the bikini to the porn clip that came up on his computer, his nucleus accumbens lights up.
Right. Ding, 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 ding.
And he has this automatic visceral gut level reaction of, I want that. I want to consume that image because it would actually feels really good. There's an adrenaline rush. There's this other stuff that happens. It would feel really good to look at that picture. And then the very next second, that first thing is involuntary.
That's involuntary.
Involuntary, biological, literally nothing he can do
It's what I call, I know you're going to get to the second thing, but it's what I call for guys, like I've said this, when guys walk into a room, they have a radar and they can immediately pick up, there's a blip on my radar that's an attractive woman. And it's not something you can choose to do necessarily. It's just you walk in. I know there's five attractive women in this building.
And there are a lot of women listening to this who are horrified to hear that because they didn't know any of this. Mm-hmm. And it's the example that we use for women is, because this helps us kind of get it, imagine that I were to stand in front of you with a sign that said, don't read this. You can't do anything about it. Your brain automatically reads, don't read this. And it's like, what do you mean, don't read this? Like, it's impossible not to.
Yeah.
There's no way you can look at the letters and not read the words. Like, your brain just does it. Mm-hmm. You didn't necessarily want it to, but it did it. And a man's brain reads, great body, before he would ever want to think about it. He didn't want to, okay? And so that's where we say there's a difference between temptation and sin. You know, biblically, Jesus was tempted in every way and yet without sin. So the temptations we face aren't the sin. The sin is what do we choose to do with it or not do with it.
Right.
And so that's where we get to step two. So the first step is the nucleus accumbens lighting up. Nothing he can do about it. Okay. Second step is his cortical centers light up. Now, the cortical centers are at the front of the brain. Those are the thinking centers. Those are the, what do I do about that food across the room? You know, do I go over there and do I, you know, start stuffing my face because I'm really hungry?
I'm going to go over there and eat bacon.
It's chocolate for me.
All right. You know, if it's bacon or if it's bacon wrapped chocolate.
Yeah. And we're bacon wrapped chocolate. That's awesome. See, now we're making all the women listening to this hungry.
Right. And don't think about chocolate. Don't think about chocolate.
Perfect example. Don't think about it, right? So now imagine thinking centers have lit up. I look at the food and I either make a choice to do something with it or not. Okay. Mm-hmm. Depends on how hungry I am. It depends on how good I am at self-control. It depends on how addictive it is, you know, all that kind of stuff. But that moment is where that choice happens. It's where the thinking centers, the cortical centers at the front of my brain light up. Okay.
Okay.
When a man looks at that woman and his nucleus accumbens lights up and it's this gut level, I want to consume this image. It's not really a desire for the person exactly as much as it is to look at the image because it would feel good to do it. The very next second, then his cortical centers light up and he thinks to himself, oh, don't look there. You know, he's red, great body. And then he goes, wait, what am I doing? Look away. Think about baseball scores.
Right. Now, we're talking specifically for guys that would be, we would say, would have some level of morality. That
Correct.
Have some conviction. Because I know
Correct.
There's plenty of
there's
guys
plenty
that are
guys
going.
Plenty of guys that would not do that.
They're going,
yes.
Oh, check that out.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
There's
so,
plenty of men.
Right.
And ironically, it's the ones who respect women, respect their wives, want to honor God in their thought lives, for whom this is even a struggle.
Hmm. Because for most guys, I would say they don't see anything wrong with this.
Yeah, many men.
When it gets
sort of
to that
worldly
second,
men,
that second stage of now it's my turn to think. Of course, I'm going to think about that. In fact, not only going to think about it, I'm going to tweet my friend. I'm going to text him.
Check that out.
Check
right.
that out. Look at that. Look at that woman here that's in the conference room that we're talking to. I mean, that's where most men go.
Yeah, there's many, many men. Now, I have been very pleasantly surprised that even amongst folks who wouldn't have claim any kind of faith practice, who wouldn't, you know, probably put themselves in the category of many of us as listening, who care about trying to honor God in our thought lives, there's actually many men who want to be honorable to women, just to be honorable. Like they
know
want
it's wrong.
To respect. They know it's wrong.
Yeah.
They want to respect their wife. They want to respect that other woman. And so, but any man who comes into that category of wanting to do the right thing, what happens is then because his cortical centers, his thinking centers are now in play, and he's looking away and he's saying, think about baseball scores or think about my wife, right? Think about something else to take my mind off of where it wants to go. And the reality, though, is that in today's culture, those sites are everywhere.
Right.
And your brain as a guy, apparently all these men's brains are very easily triggered. And so hypothetically, like the woman standing at the whiteboard with the great body and the tight dress or the tight suit.
Right.
Who's kind of showing it off, right? As she's at the whiteboard and then she turns around again. And now he's got another choice that he has to make. Like, you know, his brain wanted to go there and he had to wrench it away. And so I actually ended up doing a study with workplace stuff about men because I wrote this book called The Male Factor a number of years ago for sort of corporate America.
Right.
We did a big experiment where we had one woman, two videos. She was very attractive, wearing the exact same outfit, making a short customer service presentation. In one video, same suit with her blouse buttoned high. In the second video, same suit with her blouse buttoned low, so showing cleavage.
Okay.
And we asked the men at the end, what were her four customer service recommendations?
Wow.
And the men who saw the cleavage version of the video couldn't remember a quarter of her presentation because their brain was – half of their brain was in this
right.
war.
Right. It's engaged
of,
in this war.
Is try, don't look there. Don't think about that. Pull their thoughts away. Mm-hmm. And we as women miss all of that because when our brains perceive the attractive man across the room, our nucleus accumbens stays dark.
Really?
And our thinking centers, our cortical centers are what light up from the beginning. So we think to ourselves, he's an attractive man.
Okay.
And that's about it.
That's it. That thought start like the lights up and then the light dims.
No, it wasn't the nucleus accumbens.
Right.
It was the thinking centers.
It was the thinking center.
And so we think to ourselves, he's an attractive man. There is none of this gut level, biological, sexual temptation involved at all. There is none of this, man, I wish I could see what he looks like without those clothes on. Like literally none of that happens because the nucleus accumbens does not light up. And because it's a thinking-oriented response, which I will confess is very depressing for our husbands
to
know.
Yeah, it is.
I'm sorry.
But at the same time, it's a little bit freeing. And it in one sense, it goes – directly in contrast with what our world tries to portray. Like, we view sex the same way, or we view attractiveness the same way, that we're trying to get women just as hungry as men are. Not saying that they're not, but they're just hungry in different ways.
Totally different. Right? We are wired totally different in this area of the visual nature. Mm-hmm. And that, understanding that difference helps men actually understand something that I've heard from so many men. Mm-hmm. I do not want this temptation. Why do women dress this way? Mm. Like, even at church, like, why would a good Christian woman dress in a way that is going to tempt me to fantasize about her?
Like, it maybe just that's another question we need to tackle.
It may be, mm-hmm. right? It may be something we need to tackle. But the key for us as women, you know, if you are in pain because your husband has been looking at pornography, you know, or your son, mm-hmm. right? I have a 14-year-old son. He's almost 15 years old. We have the same age sons. And it is so important for us as women to understand that what is underneath it is this wiring that God has given the male brain that is intended to be a good thing. Mm-hmm. Because let's remember that the only image a man was ever supposed to see in this way would be of his wife on his wedding night.
Right.
And then it would be a bonding thing.
Yeah. And unfortunately, because of we live in a fallen world, we got to remember we're raising fallen kids, and we're married to a fallen man, not me, but you ladies out there are listening, and you go that temptation is real and probably more real today than it ever has been. You know, it used to be for so long the only image that a guy had throughout most of his day was the the south end of a north end moving mule, and he was plowing. All day. And so when he comes home to his wife who's been working, all day help preparing the meal, she's looking pretty good regardless of what she's got on. He's not inundated every day with images and with porn that comes across his email that he's not asking for. Now, again, this doesn't excuse. Like, I can see some ladies right now going, wait, are you just telling me that, okay, well, I guess he's just going to look at it?
No, absolutely not. And by the way, the men that I were talking to, when they said they hate this temptation, like, mm-hmm. the guy's like, I really, truly, like, I wish that I had a pair of magic glasses that I could just wear around all day to filter out those sights and then only take them off when I'm alone with my wife. Like, that would be awesome. Like, guys said, I love it when I'm with my wife.
Which sounds like a great marketing thing we need to do is create those glasses.
Let's invent that.
We could invent that.
To turn off the nucleus accumbens until you're alone with your wife. That would be cool.
Get our kids through college.
I think we could. If there's anybody listening to this who's an inventor or an engineer, contact us because this needs to happen.
Turn off the nucleus accumbens.
Nucleus accumbens. I know. It took me forever. I'm not either, but it took me for now here's the encouraging thing for you as women out there listening is to realize that there's an opportunity here. That, yeah, maybe you're in a difficult place, like you know that this is something your husband is struggling with. And if it's a big deal, I sure hope you're getting help. I sure hope you're getting some accountability because that's something he has to address.
Yes.
Now, thankfully, there is victory over this. Mm-hmm. I've heard literally thousands and thousands of men over the years. But one of the pieces of the puzzle is a wife who understands mm-hmm. and who is willing to come alongside and empathize without excusing.
Right.
Right. And one of the pieces of the puzzle for any man, no matter where he is, especially if he's just trying to be a good guy every mm-hmm. day, is to give him those images of you.
Wow.
And I'm not talking about sending him text
images. Right. Let's be real. We're not endorsing sexting. That's not what this podcast is about.
You're going to get a lot of Facebook messages otherwise. Yeah. No, literally in person. Hmm. I have had so many men. I had one guy who came up to me at the end of an event where I was speaking somewhere. And we were talking about, and one of the topics, I often have pastors who ask me to come in and they interview me on stage mm-hmm. as the sermon time mm-hmm. In order for me to be able to cover some of these subjects that are harder for them to cover,
sure.
And I had a guy come up to me and he's like, oh my goodness, this is so true. And he said, I wish my wife could have heard this. She apparently wasn't there that day. I wish my wife, he said, all day long, I am trying to take every thought captive. All day long, you know, my colleague is, I'm trying to turn my eyes away. And then the billboard.
Bounce the eyes.
Bounce the eyes and the billboard on the highway. And I, you know, I look the other direction. And, you know, then the commercial comes up or the pop-up on the computer. And I'm looking away, bouncing my eyes, you know, thinking about baseball scores. And then I come home. And my wife comes upstairs to change in our bedroom, and she goes into the closet to change. He's like, Emma, are you serious? Like, all day long, I've been saving my eyes for you. Like, please, let me see you, is basically what the guy was saying.
Yeah, so what are you saying then the first step then is, hey, change in the open, you know, with your husband?
Hey, listen, there is something about that that apparently, I'm not a guy, but I've heard this now from thousands of men, there is something that no matter what you think you look like, men want to feast their eyes on you. I know it sounds really old-fashioned and we're like, but my butt is too big. Or, you know, the guys are like, no, like you're mine. This is where God intended it to be. So there's something very supernatural. There's something very bonding. There's something very otherworldly and beautiful and wonderful that happens when a guy sees his wife and just wants
and
to
And it's not in gray sweats. You know, when it's not in gray sweats, that's what my wife and I have a joke about. It's like for a long time, she would get into something more comfortable. Like, I'm going to go get something more comfortable. Well, you know, that phrase to me meant one thing, but to her, it really meant, no, more comfortable, like gray sweats.
Like actually more comfortable.
And so I'm getting excited. And then now I'm seeing her, she looks good in gray sweats, but I'm just going, no, my mind was going somewhere else completely. And so I think that's a great practical thing of just recognizing. I think what you said is your husband wants to feast his eyes on you.
Yeah. He finds you beautiful just as you are. Like you are his pinup girl, right? And he wants to be able to look at you. So even if you are putting on the gray sweats, let him see you as you change. I mean, one of the things, okay, ladies, I'm going to go there. You know what I'm going to say? The next step is sex with the lights on.
Really?
Yeah. Like that's like every woman went, you know, because let me tell you, we are insecure about ourselves. And you have to believe me, ladies, when I tell you that the men I spoke to said, it doesn't matter. Like, this is where they want to fill up their visual bank.
Right.
You know?
Well, and it goes back to that need that we talked about in the first podcast about what's the need you're meeting in that, to remember that you're meeting an incredibly, not just physical need, but emotional need. And so thinking it through that lens about going, hey, I want to feast my eyes on you as a guy. He's thinking, I want to feast my eyes on you. But I also think, what are some other things? You know, you can also ask your husband. Like, I think a great question that couples should ask each other is like, what turns you on? For a wife to ask her husband that, just to ask, because it may not be turning the lights on. It may be candles. It may be something totally different. I mean, it could be, you know, because I had that picture. I'm like, I don't like strobe lights or, yeah, that's not me. But, you know, some guys just like,
they just want to be able to see.
They want to be able to see. That's,
at least I've heard that.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that.
And for us as women, one of the things that I think that we have to constantly remember is that really, truly, this is the way God wired the male brain. And it has now been, it is in a culture that has been corrupted, that has corrupted that beautiful intention that God had, where this would only be between the husband and the wife, right? This would be the first image he would see. So all those thoughts, like you have the images from age 8, right? Like say, you know, back in the day, guys would get married at age 15 or whatever. But starting at age 15, those images would only be of the wife, period. That was the only access he would ever have. And so those would be these wonderful bonding things that he'd be pulling up in his brain and, you know, mulling over while he's out doing whatever he's doing in the fields or whatever. And it still works the same way today. That's a good thing. It's just for us as women, we have to be willing to recognize, you know what, we don't get it. I don't really get what my husband or my son has to go through. I want to be supportive. I want to come alongside them and help them navigate.
And there's, unfortunately, there's not anything that you can do to see something else through somebody else's eyes. I mean, you wish there was. You wish there was a way you could understand it. Because I think when you understand it, you'd have empathy.
Yeah.
And again, we're not excusing the act. If your husband is struggling with that, I would say, as a man, I talk to guys all the time about this. Like, this is setting you porn is setting yourself up for failure. It's setting yourself up for more frustration because it's counterfeit to what you're really intended for.
Yeah.
To be intended for intimacy and joy. That's a totally different topic, but we want you to get help if you're in that situation.
And for the women listening to this, if your husband needs that help, truly mm-hmm. needs that help, as opposed to he's just being tempted like everybody right. else, right? If he truly needs that help, if he's made those wrong mm-hmm. choices, you need to be able to be honest with him mm-hmm. about how this makes you feel. Because I get the impression from having talked to and surveyed so many men, they don't quite get why it hurts a woman's feelings. Mm-hmm. Like, he thinks, you know, my wife knows it says nothing about my love for her. Well, no, actually, we don't. You know, to us, it's all tied up together.
Right.
And so it's really important for you to be willing to gently hold the line on this, but to do it in a way that's compassionate and recognizes this could be difficult for him, but it'll be easier if he knows you're there with him.
Yeah. So, you know, to wrap up, I think it'd be helpful just to put yourself into the woman out there that's going, I just caught my husband looking at
me. Yeah.
So how do I become compassionate in a moment where I'm really scarred and hurting?
Oh,
what do
yeah.
I do? What are the steps I take?
Well, the most important thing is for us to pray, right? I mean, I know that sounds trite, but it absolutely is not. It is truly, Lord, help me respond with your heart when my heart has just been shredded. Hmm. And one of the things that has happened often is that women, as they've prayed those things, I've had to pray that, right? I mean, Jeff is very open about the fact that he went through a season where he had to address this. And as you pray for God's heart and help and wisdom on how to address this, you'll honestly, in most cases, God will give you this compassion for this struggle that this man you love is going through that he does not want.
Right.
He doesn't want to hurt you. He, you know, a lot of men, even if they haven't been kind of discipled or mentored, you know, in godly ways, they know that it's wrong. There's shame. There's guilt.
They hate it. I mean, every guy I talk with, you know, it's a Romans 7 idea. The very thing that I don't want to do, I do.
Yeah.
And they hate it. They despise it. And so the point is, how do I help them through it?
Yeah. And that first step of praying for God's heart, praying for wisdom is going to be huge. And then depending on what it is that's going mm-hmm. on, I mean, many churches, for example, have groups for men mm-hmm. who, this is a time that they can get with other guys who get it, because, you know, we women, we don't get it,
right?
They get with other guys who get it and can start accountability. It is really important. I've heard from many counselors in this area, very important that the wife not try to be the police. Hmm. That ends up putting the marriage in jeopardy.
Right.
And it's really important that they get some sort of structure mm-hmm. around how to help. And there's tons of counselors. There's wonderful people who've been trained in this
yeah.
area.
Yeah. And a lot of great guys. I think for guys, they need other guys around them to help with this. It's not fair to put the wife through that. Although she needs to be the one he confesses to, right?
Yeah,
and,
totally.
And I think what I hear you saying is you got to start practicing what I heard somebody say, practice your non-shocked face. Like, I'm not going to be shocked by this.
That is a great
you know,
line.
Which would be great as a mom
yes.
of sons.
Yes.
You almost need to expect that your son's going to find it. It's going to find them. And to practice your non-shocked face.
No matter what, one of the most important things we found statistically is no matter what is going on, as he's able to talk to you about it, stay completely calm.
Yeah.
As hard as that is, stay very calm, ask the questions, what can we do, you know, help me understand, mm-hmm. and not the freak out. And then if you can prove that he can talk to you about it without you getting all freaked out, which mm-hmm. would be understandable, believe me, but as to the degree that you can, he'll have more of those conversations.
Yeah.
And he'll be able to share more things. And let me tell you, yeah, you just brought up a really important point, mm-hmm. especially when you have a boy in the house.
Yep. And I think that will move you from being the person that you're having to put him under performance. So you got to prove to me that you can beat this thing, you know, and you got to prove to me that you can stop looking at this, to now becoming a partner.
Yeah.
I want to partner with you because I know that I'm, you know, you're a sinner just like he is.
Yeah. And there's things that I do wrong every day.
Yep. We all do wrong. So how do I partner with and believe the best? Again, the question that we asked at the beginning was, what if my good guy husband, how could my good guy husband be tempted by it? We're talking about the guys that really want to get through this.
Yeah.
They don't want to be tempted, but they are. And so to start off by praying, I think, is a great thing. The next thing is, how can I look at this in compassion, that I can understand what's going on in his brain, to practice my non-shocked face? I'm not going to be freaked out. I'm going to respond with calmness and compassion and go, how do we partner together to move through this?
Offering support.
Yeah.
Because to me, overtly offering, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can we do together?
Yep. So as we wrap up this episode of Married with Benefits, we want to be an encouragement to you. I would imagine there's a few things you're actually doing really well in this area. As tough as it is, as sensitive as it is, I would imagine that there's things you're winning in. And so what are those one or two things where you feel like you're doing well? Keep doing those things. But what's one area that you go, I need to do a better job? Maybe it's understanding the battle that he's going through. Maybe it's seeing things through his lens. Maybe it's practicing your non-freaked out, non-shocked out face. Whatever is that one thing, focus on improving that this week. So ladies and guys, we know you're listening too. Thanks so much for listening to this edition of Married with Benefits. And by the way, we wanted to also let you know that this podcast is listener supported. And so we appreciate many gifts from people just like yourself. And if you're interested in donating today, you can do that there at familylife.com. Just click the word donate. I'd love to give a special thanks to our audio producer, CJ3. And our project coordinator, Paige Johnson, for helping to pull this off. We couldn't do it without their help. And join us next time as we ask another intriguing question. What if we butt heads over parenting? Man, Jen and I never do that. No, we look forward to answering that question and being real with you next time on Married with Benefits. I'm Brian Goins, seeking to help you love the one you're with. See you next time.